you. Ooh. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Tim knows. Thank you. I want to invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading from verse 3 to give us the context of the passage. And then we'll get into our passage for today. But before we read the word, I want to pray and ask God to help us by His Spirit. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have the word of God given to us so plainly and so clearly. Thank you, Father, that we are able to study it freely. Lord, that we have the opportunity to dig into the word and to mine the truths that you have given to us. And Lord, we know that the study of the word can never be just about knowledge. It has to be also about application. And so I pray, Lord, today especially, that you would grant us not only knowledge, but desire and ability to put it into action in our lives. And we will give you glory and honor as we do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, beginning with verse 3, we're going to read down through verse 16. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of great gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have not brought anything into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And now, beginning with verse 11, is our passage for today. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in the unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Fight the good fight. That's the message that Paul gives Timothy here. Now, remember, since it's been a while that we've been in this letter to Timothy, we want to remember a little bit about why Paul is writing the letter. Remember that Timothy is at the church that was planted by Paul in Ephesus. It is a church that has fallen on some difficult times. And Timothy is there to help the church recover itself. Now, the problem with that kind of a situation is that is not an easy calling. Timothy is going into a situation where there are false teachers, where there is infighting, where there is all kinds of things going on in the church, and it's creating all kinds of difficulty for that particular body of Christ. And Timothy is there to help them get back on the right track. And so when we read passages like this one, and as we have worked our way through this letter, we're recognizing that what Paul is doing is helping Timothy understand how to do that. He's giving instruction. He's commanding the church. He is encouraging, kind of cheerleading Timothy. Hang in there, Timothy. You can do this with God's help. And so here he is saying to Timothy, Timothy, fight the good fight. Notice that he is recognizing not only what's going on in that church as a battle, but he's also recognizing that living the Christian life can be understood as a battle. Fight the good fight. It's a command that is actually given in the very first chapter of this letter, you may remember, where Paul tells Timothy to fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience. And that same phrase, fight the good fight of faith, is the key to this particular passage. And as I've said already, it's not simply enough to add to your knowledge. There's no real battling going on when all we're doing is taking something in. We need to apply it. We need to put it to work with the power of the Holy Spirit. And thankfully, Paul gives us some pretty practical things that we can do here to put that into practice. How do we fight the good fight? What do we do? So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a look at some of those truths. And this morning, I want to look specifically at verses 11 and 12. Verse 12 is actually gives us the title, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. But verse 11 is where we have the instructions that we're going to look at today. Verses 11 and 12. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So there's a couple of practical things here that we can do if we are going to fight the good fight of faith. And we're going to look at it in the form of the two words that are given in verse 11. So part of fighting the good fight of faith involves fleeing, and another part of fighting the good fight involves pursuing. So flee and pursue. Now, I was thinking about how we learn to flee and pursue in life, and I was thinking back to some of the games we played in our yard as kids. We all learned at a pretty early age what it means to flee and what it means to pursue. If you ever played a game like Spud, anybody ever play Spud? Or Kick the Can? Or just some other kind of tag game? Or if you were like we did in our neighborhood, our neighbors had a pretty big side yard, we played a lot of football, you learned how to flee, especially if you had the ball, and pursue if you didn't. So we all understand what it means to do those things. You flee from something and you pursue toward something. And Paul is telling Timothy in verse 11, flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue another group of things. And so I want to begin by looking at the word flee. What is it that Paul is talking about with regard to fleeing? He says, flee from these things, you man of God. So how do we know what it is that Paul wants Timothy to flee from? We don't have to go very far. There's an immediate context, which I read just a few minutes ago, that goes back just a few verses. And there are some things there that Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, you need to flee these things. You need to get away from these. So let's look at what Timothy was to flee from in the immediate context. If you look back over these verses, you can see a pretty significant list. Now, if you look back at verse 4, speaking of a person who is advocating a different doctrine, this is what Paul is saying, speaking of people who are advocating different doctrines than they've been taught by Paul, he was to flee from, and listen to this list: a morbid interest in controversial questions, disputes about words to the point that it causes envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions. Gives you a little bit of an idea what church was like at Ephesus in that period of time. And in verse 5, constant friction. Paul called those who were involved in these things depraved in mind and deprived of the truth. Now, one of the things I like about Paul is he never minced words. If he thought you were evil, he said, you're evil. If he thought you were causing trouble in the church, he said, you're causing trouble in the church. And what he's saying to Timothy here is these are the things that are going on within this body, and you need not to be a part of them. Timothy, you need to flee these things. And another area of sin that Timothy was to flee from was the desire to be rich. Verse 9 says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. And verse 10 tells us that the desire has caused some to wander away from the faith. And so Paul says to Timothy, flee from these things. Now you have to understand that this is an action word. Running from something means that you are doing something to get away from it. So when he says flee, he's not just saying be aware. It's not just you need to know about these things, Timothy, you need to get away from them. You need to flee from them. There was no question that they were evident within the body of Christ there. And sadly, that's exactly what was happening. These things were taking place in that body. Now, that's the immediate context. Now, we could go back over the whole rest of the letter and see a significantly larger list of things that Timothy was to flee from. We need to be careful that we don't allow these kinds of things that Paul is talking to Timothy about to become rooted in our lives. And he didn't want Timothy to allow them to be rooted in his as well. So Timothy is reminded of the things that he should flee from. Pay attention to them, stay away from them. Now, to make this very practical, to make it useful to us, what we need to do is not only look at that list, but we also need to ask the question, what do I need to flee from? Paul is telling Timothy and giving him some specific things. Now, you may look at that particular list that Paul is giving Timothy, and you may say, you know, those aren't really my issues. But that does not free you from paying attention to what Paul is saying. All it really means is that you need to think about what is it that I need to flee from. So, for those of you who strive to walk with God on a daily basis, if you are doing that and seriously pursuing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that the Spirit of God will convict you of sin, will make you aware of things where you are getting too close to the fire. He also convicts you of the sin when you go too far, when you commit that sin. So you already are aware that this is part of a strong and growing relationship with God. That is one of the blessings, it's one of the spiritual blessings that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the fact that the Holy Spirit informs us, keeps us on the straight and narrow, convicts us of sin. We need that. That is part and parcel of walking with Christ. But even if you are growing in your faith, it helps us to be purposeful and intentional in thinking about the things that God might want me to flee from. And so how do we do that? All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is do what David did. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, well-known verses to us. Very simple, but we don't do it nearly often enough, I don't think. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Now, if we are growing in Christ, if we are pursuing Him as we should, this is the Holy Spirit is already at work in us, and He's working on us, and He's working in us. But we still need to ask. If for no other reason than just to humble ourselves before God and say, you know, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm doing what I should be doing, that I am where you want me to be. I can guarantee you that He will answer that prayer. But when He answers that prayer, you need to be ready to deal with it. We're not just having a conversation here and it disappears into nothingness. What you are doing is asking God to do something for you on your behalf, and now you need to respond in a proper way. What am I going to do about this? It seems like a simple thing, but it's an important aspect of your walk with God. And it's important enough that Paul reiterates the point in 2 Timothy. Listen to what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee from youthful lusts. This isn't just kind of the sexual thing, but just all of the youthful immaturities and things. Flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now I want you to notice something here, because it's really important as we are pursuing Christ, as we are knowing not only what we are to flee from, but how we are to handle the situation. Notice how Paul puts it. Flee from these youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Then what does he say? With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Well, what does he mean by that? What's he saying? He is saying that we are not alone in doing this, and we are not to act alone in doing this. One of the most beautiful things, I think, about the church is that we are in this together. That we have the opportunity of supporting one another, like you did for Kim's dad's funeral and for that family. That's one aspect of the support that we can give. That's wonderful. But another aspect of that support is when we come alongside a brother and a sister and we pray with them. And we say, I want to pray for you in this area. And we have to do that in an appropriate way. But we do it with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Other Christians, other believers, other members of the church. We are called to help, to challenge, and to pray for one another. It's part of being in the family of God. We're not to be loners in that sense. We need one another. That's the way God has ordained things to be. So we have this idea of fleeing these things. And we need to pray for one another in this regard. So the first aspect of fighting the good fight is fleeing from sin. Now Paul gives us a second aspect, and that is pursue. We are to pursue something, some things actually. And he gives Timothy a list here. So fleeing is running away, obviously, from something. Pursuing is running toward something. Think of the games that we played when we were little. Fleeing and pursuing. And so Paul is telling Timothy to pursue. Now look at verse 11 again. Flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Now, there's something here that I just want to make really clear. I think we understand this, but I want to make sure that it doesn't get left unspoken, and that is this. Both of these activities need to be taking place simultaneously, fleeing and pursuing. Don't get in your mind that, okay, first thing I have to do, because that's what Paul says, first thing I have to do is flee. And so I'm going to flee all of these things. And that's good, but here's the thing. Sometimes we get in our minds that we have to flee all these things. We have to get it all right. We have to get away from all of that sin. We have to make sure that everything's just right before we begin to pursue. And that's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying flee all of those things and then pursue all of these other good things. This is supposed to be a simultaneous activity. We are fleeing and we are pursuing regularly, together. And actually, as you walk with Christ, you already know that that's how it works. There are some areas in my life where God wants me to flee. He wants me to deal with this sin. And there are other areas, specific areas of my life, that He wants me to pursue and to continue to pursue. These things need to go on together. It all fits in with this idea that we are pursuing in our Sunday school class of practicing godliness. You can't truly practice godliness if you're unwilling to deal with your sinfulness. Not only are we pursuing the good things, but we're trying to get rid of and flee the bad things. Another thing that I want you to notice here is that Paul is talking to Timothy as someone who is already in the process. Now, how do I know that? Because he calls him a man of God. Timothy, flee these things, O man of God. Now, Paul would not call somebody a man of God unless there was a sincere desire on the part of, in this case, Timothy, to already be doing this. He's not just a new, immature Christian who needs lots of instruction. He's been walking with the Lord for some time. And if this hadn't been true of him, there's no way Paul would have sent him to a place that was in trouble. You don't send a rookie to a church that's having difficulties like Ephesus was having. There's experience. There has to be maturity. There has to be the ability to handle the challenges. And so what Paul is doing here is he's challenging Timothy just as he is challenging you. You're already doing these things. Continue to do them. O man, O woman of God. It reminds me of what Paul said to the Thessalonians in their church. Excel still more. You're already doing it. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep pursuing. So Paul tells Timothy what he wants him to pursue. And he actually gives him six character qualities. So remember that we're pursuing, we're going towards these things, and Well, Paul is, as he uses the word here, it means to constantly strive for it. So it's not a one and done kind of thing. Okay, I did that. This is an ongoing character building, growing activity. Now, we could truly spend a very long time on each one of these because they're big words, they're big areas. But we're actually going to be going through almost all of these in our Sunday school class in the practice of godliness. So I'm going to touch on them today, but I'm going to invite you to join us for that Sunday school class where we're going to dig into each one of them. And they're actually given to us in pairs. So the first pair of qualities, Timothy is to pursue righteousness and godliness. So flee from these things, right? Pursue these other things. So the term righteousness refers here primarily to upright conduct before all men. Upright conduct. I want you to remember something here. When Paul says upright conduct, when he says righteousness, he is basing that on the righteousness of God, on the holiness of God. You know, in our culture today, in our world today, who is right is kind of a moving target. But that's because God's word is not the basis. And so when Paul says it, he means based on God's word. Upright conduct before human beings and godliness describes an open and obedient relationship before God. Now, we've been using a little bit different definition, but it includes this in our Sunday school class. And the definition that we've been using and will continue to use is this: godliness is devotion to God that results in a life pleasing to Him. Godliness is a devotion to God that results in a life pleasing to Him. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That's what godliness, that's the way we're approaching it. And that's the way Paul wants Timothy to approach it. He wants him to please God. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, here's what we're supposed to pursue, okay? Here's how we're supposed to act as Christians. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, here it comes, here's the action, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Everything about what Paul is telling Timothy to do requires action. Not just taking it in, not just knowing that it's true or that it exists, but taking action. Practicing these things will help you pursue righteousness and godliness. The second pair of qualities that Timothy is to pursue is faith and love. Now again, we could talk about faith for a long time. But here, faith really is reflecting trust in God. And actually, if we understand Christianity properly, we can say that you cannot be a Christian without it. You cannot follow Christ without faith. It's impossible. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 how important this is. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and verse 6. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him." You cannot walk with Christ without faith. Cannot be done. So Paul says to Timothy, pursue this. Pursue faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are reminded that we could not come to Christ at all without it. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Pursuing faith means that you are learning to trust God. There isn't anybody who has come to Christ at any point in time in their lives who does not have to learn to trust. This is no other way to do it. It's a learning process. It's an activity that we must be a part of. So there was faith and love. Love is what God has shown us in Christ. There is no other explanation that we can give for God sending His Son to die for us, to die for the sins of others. And Jesus passed that truth along when He said in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." So not only did God, out of love, send Jesus, but Jesus Himself grabbed hold of that truth of love and said, look, there is no greater gift than someone give up their life for you. And even in our human understanding, even if there were no spiritual anything involved in this, can you think of a greater display of love, humanly speaking, than giving your life for someone else? I can't. That is the ultimate gift, is it not? That comes from God. And He demonstrates that in Christ. So Jesus, of course, laid down His life not just for the friends that He was speaking to in the upper room, but those who were still in sin. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own what? Love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ is our best example of love, and we need to pursue it. God, what does love look like in my life? How am I supposed to display love like You did in Jesus Christ? How am I supposed to display love and carry that love to other people like Jesus did for the people that He ministered to? What does that look like? You see, this is action. It's not just knowledge. There are two more words: perseverance and gentleness. Now, depending on your translation, you can use the word endurance, or perseverance, or steadfastness in the place of what the New American Standard uses here, perseverance. It's all the same word. And Paul knew that Timothy would need perseverance or endurance or steadfastness to deal with the issues that he was facing. I mean, think about it, folks. When you're in a difficult situation and you know you need to do whatever the right thing is, does it not take perseverance and endurance to continue to do it? In relationships, when you're having a difficult time with someone and you know that the right thing to do is to show them love and to help them and to just to be loving before anything else is done, does it not take endurance to do that? It absolutely does. You have to stick to it. Again, it's not a one and done. It's not a okay, I showed him love today, I'm over. It's done. It doesn't work that way. Timothy needed perseverance to handle the difficult task that was before him. And notice how perseverance works as it's applied to the tribulations that we deal with in this life. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You cannot exult in your tribulations without perseverance. And perseverance brings along other aspects of godliness. And I can just imagine Timothy, who is a godly man, perhaps a little on the timid side, but still a godly man, would still, even with that personality, need gentleness in order to deal with the way one of the commentators puts it, cantankerous heretics and wavering believers. How do you deal with someone who is always looking for a fight? Who is mincing words and whose desire is not to get the word of God right, but just to be right. Or to be the one who gets to say what is right. These are character qualities that Paul wants Timothy to pursue. So the next question then is this. What does God want me to pursue? What am I to pursue? What do I need to pursue? And the same process is true. I need to ask God, Lord, am I pursuing the character that you want me to pursue? Is there something in my life that you want me to pursue? And it may be coupled with something that you are also to flee from. But you have to ask, you have to know, you have to walk with Him in order to understand what it is that He wants you to do. It involves prayer, it involves humbling yourself before God and saying, okay, Lord, here's where I think I am. Where do you want me to be? Where do you want me to grow? How do I do this? And are you really willing to pursue the things that God wants you to pursue? Paul gives Timothy some very particular things here, and he has spoken of some particular things that he should flee. The question I want to leave you with is, are you willing to seek God for what you are to flee from? You may already know that. And what you are to pursue. What are those things? And would you be able to say today if you were put on the spot? Paul didn't expect Timothy just necessarily to know exactly what that was right away. And those things change. Look into it, Timothy. Find out what God wants you to do and then do it. And that really should be our pursuit as well. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to ask that you will help us to fight the good fight, which at least in part includes fleeing those sinful things which we so often participate in, and pursuing those things which you want us to pursue. Character qualities, Lord, that are meaningful for us, that are important to how we walk with you. Will you help us, Lord, to have even the desire to be active in this way? Lord, it's work, it's hard work. It takes some intentionality. And I pray, God, that you will help us to do that for your glory and for our good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaks to this issue, and it's a